term I've written is fountains. Had a song about a fountain to open this part of the service. I have a fountain at my house. It sat outside through the winter. It's a two-piece unit Roberta and I bought 2 or 3 years ago from Lowe's and Joplin. And needed to be tidied up and prepared for use this spring, summer. So Roberta cleaned it up, and I saw it, went out and filled it up with water, and standing there looking at it, plugged it in to see if the little pump would work that's in it. It's got a light that goes down inside it, but I never have used that. Just use a pump. I like to see it there. It's there in front of my house. And plugged it up, and it worked, but while I was doing that, the Lord began to talk to me about fountains. So I propose to speak to you a little bit about fountains. The song we sang has at the caption, it has a reference to a scripture in Zechariah 13:1. And that's the one I have for a text this morning. It says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and unclean spirit to pass out of the land." That's a prophecy of Christ. It's remarkable to me that Zechariah was one of those preachers who prophesied after the time of the return of the Israelites from the captivity in Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem and also to rebuild the temple. There are several prophets along through that era, and all had about the same task, to encourage the Israelites to the work that they were to do. And they needed encouraging. It didn't all go smoothly for them. They had several setbacks. Artaxerxes gave them permission to go, but their enemies rose up against them, and they prevailed on the next king, and he retracted that permission to go, and so they had to stop in the middle. And some of the Jews didn't want to go with him and help. And they had enemies around them. Some of that's mentioned in the Bible. Sanballat and Tobiah came and threatened to kill them all if they could. And also they made fun of them while they were working and said, "What is this these feeble Jews do? Build this little wall. If a fox had come up and leaned against that wall, they'd knock it down." Talked about them that way. So they needed some encouraging. But if you and I work for the Lord, it's not all going to be easy either. We'll need some encouraging along the way. And one of the ways God does that is through his prophets, or so he did in this case. What I found remarkable about that, as I was considering it, is how God inserted this little scripture in there. The prophets were encouraging them about the land of their fathers and the law of God, the power of God had been in their lives. But then he skipped several hundred years on them, and way down to your generation and mine, to the time of Christ and all the generations after, I should say. And he said, in the purpose of encouraging them, in that day, which generally in the Bible means, or often means, in the gospel day, certainly does in this case, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. As if to say, the hope of your children, the hope of your future is tied up in this. You won't see the benefit of it. All the people who worked on that temple, they all died long before Jesus came into the world. But the Lord told them it's going to happen. And he said, because it's going to happen, that ought to give you some courage. You keep on and build for it, because that's the hope of the world. And that ought to refresh you and encourage you. Well, if it ought to be an encouragement to them, how much more to us that have got the chance to experience what the fountain is? Now that fountain that I have in my house, first of all, all it's made out of, the part that does all the moving, where the beauty is just water. That's just a natural element. But the water moves. And that's what makes it interesting. It doesn't do that by itself. Something has to work with it to make it move. What I'm trying to say is, everything that God does with us, everything we do with God, is a cooperative effort. He made the water. And in this case, He is the fountain. But it's up to me to get the place cleaned up and situated so that the fountain has a place that looks attractive and works like it's supposed to work. So one thing about fountains is that they all require some work, especially if it's outside. Bugs get in there and leaves drift in mine off the trees and other things happen to it. So every day or so, I have to come by and pay some attention to that fountain. That's the way it is with the fountain that the Lord opened for us. There's a part for God to do, and there's a part for us to do. He didn't do it all. But if we cooperate together with a part the Lord wants us to do, we'll have something that's beautiful in our lives. There's a fountain open in the house of David, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and so forth. So my fountain had to be cleaned up. If you want to have a beautiful fountain in your life and in your soul, you've got to clean up some things. You can see a lot of people around us in the world who've got... See, my fountain is kind of like a big tub made in two sections, and it's made out of fiberglass, but it's painted to look like rocks. And it really wouldn't amount to much until the water starts moving through it. A lot of people that you see have got things in their life, and you say, this would make a beautiful fountain. If they just clean it up. If they just make it like it was intended, it could be beautiful. Haven't you ever driven by somebody's patio or courtyard that's grown up with weeds, and look at it and say, now, if this place was cleaned up, it would really look nice. Well, I'm thinking of a man got a house for sale up on the hilltop, not too far from where we live. Drive by it on our way to meeting, got a big sign in the window, house for sale. And I think every time I drive by, he'd come a whole lot closer to selling it if he'd just mow the grass. Good coat of paint on the house wouldn't hurt anything either. Nobody wants to buy a house and move into it when it looks like it's going to fall down on your head as soon as you shut the door sharply. So with people's lives. If folks don't do anything to straighten up their lives and get them in order, they'll never have a beautiful fountain. All fountains that there are, I guess, require some work. Well, think of fountains this way. My wife's got a little fountain that she sets on a countertop in our guest bathroom. And the guest bathroom countertop's only about that long, so there's not very much room in there, but it's just a tiny little fountain. Set it over there on one side, plug it in, company comes, and the water drips down the front of it, and it looks real nice. Fountain can be very small and still be beautiful. A fountain can be very large and be beautiful. Folks over in Dubai are planning a fountain. They expect it to shoot water 500 feet up into air. And it's going to be 200 yards long. And they expect 10 million people a year to come to see their fountain, just to see a fountain. Well, salvation's like that too. You can fit it into the quietest little corner. You can find it in the most unexpected places. I like to think about the story of the folks traveling on the train. One of the saints talked about years ago, reading the scriptures and got his mind on the things of God. And after a while, he got away from him and said, praise God. Didn't really say it all that loud, but somebody back in the back said, amen. When they found each other that way. Have you ever had experience like that? Well, last Thursday, I was walking through the airport in Tulsa, and a black man was walking. He had on a uniform, and he was an attendant of some sort in the airport, maybe with a security service or something, government security. Anyway, I asked him directions to a counter, and he told me where to go, and then I started leaving. He said, Lord bless you today. And I said, well, Lord bless you too. Said, well, let's meet up in heaven one day. You don't know where you're going to find a fountain, but they look pretty every time you do. And I don't know anything about him or about what, but he's talking about the same Jesus that I believe in. I don't have to know all about it. As long as he gets in contact with God, that'll get the job done. There can be small fountains in most unexpected places. There can be huge fountains that can change the world. This gospel's changed the world, hasn't it? And it didn't do it with a sword and with the force. It did it by its beauty. And so the salvation of God always is. So, think about the fountain this way. The water was there, and the fiberglass was there. But until something happened to it, it was just a puddle. I walked out there and looked at my fountain after the winter. It had been raining, and the fountain tub part of it was full of water. When I looked down in there, and I saw little things moving around in there. So I'm going to turn that over right now because those are mosquito larvae. And if you leave that alone, then we're going to have lots of mosquitoes around this place. Mosquitoes can breed in a cup full of water. They'd rather have something this size than a lake to lay their eggs in. And they laid their eggs in that fountain, and it was going to be trouble to me if it didn't do so. I turned it over, poured them all out on the ground, see how those little wiggle tails can get along without any water. And then we put fresh water in there and plugged it into some power. And there's the secret. Because a fountain is not like a river. It's not like a pond. When you think of a fountain as coming up out of the ground or somewhere and continuously bubbling up and going generally in the same direction. Well, that's Jesus. But gets in our soul, he's got something about him that just keeps bubbling up. There's a source of power there. That's a little pump down inside that tank. And you plug it into electricity and it just keeps pumping up and pumping up and pumping up. Well, Jesus is that way for us every day. But you got to come and work on the fountain every day. Things happen to that fountain. Overnight, things happen to it. Animals come up and drink out of my fountain. And I go out there in the morning, and the water will be halfway down in the tank from what it was. So I get the hose and spray it back up again, because if I don't, pretty soon the water will all be gone, and then the pump will burn up. So I got to keep water in there. My soul's that way too. Things happen to me during the day. And I got a fountain. The source of power is there. But my part is to come to it and get it refreshed and blessed. And if I'll do that, the Lord will see to it that there's always something bubbling up on the inside that overflows. It's a fountain. Isn't it something? Those deer around my house are so wild. You walk outside, all you see is tails going over the hilltop. And the fountain is in kind of a little horseshoe-shaped area in front of my house. Windows right there in front of it. But those wild deer, I don't know, I've seen foxes up pretty close too like that. I guess in the nighttime, come out in the morning and see tracks out there. When there's nobody there, they'll come up that close and drink out of it. There are spirits like that in the world. I mean that this way. Saints worship is intended to be one of the most peaceful places that there are. And there are people who come to our worship services who perhaps will never have a close walk with the Lord in their lifetime. And some who are affected by it and don't fully accept it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. The Lord compared his church to a grain of mustard. When it's grown, he said, the fowls come and lodge in the branches. I deeply believe that some of the most peace some people in this world will ever know is when they're able to visit in a home or a family where people have got a godly fountain, or where they're able to come together where some folks are worshiping the Lord, and there's a fountain in their midst, and it's a peaceful place, and it's a spiritual place, and it attracts folks who are troubled or in distress, and the Lord wants them to come. He wants us to welcome them to come, besides which you never know. You never know. Somewhere between here and the judgment, that poor needy soul may look at themselves and say, well, you know, my fountain's got weeds growing all around it and the rocks are knocked down, but this could be better. I can change this and make it into shape. I can have a fountain too. You never know. It's possible it could be so. The fact that somebody came who doesn't have a fountain to our worship service does not keep our fountain from being what the Lord wants it to be at all. In fact, this is surely how God intended things to be. So when I thought about the deer and the foxes and the rabbits and other things coming up and drinking out of our little fountain, I thought that's the way the Lord wants His church to be. And if they come in and get some, well, there's plenty of water. We can fill it back up anytime, get all that we need. Next night comes, here they be again. Glad to see it be so. Wild things, all kinds of spirits, need to come to our worship services. Devil-possessed people ought to come to saints' worship service. They got a better chance of getting help there than anywhere else in the world. People in deep grief, people in disappointment, people needing direction in life, people caught in vices and sin and shame of every kind. Right here is where they need to be because it's where the fountain is. Get them a drink. Then if they get a full deliverance in the fountain of their own, good. Thank the Lord for it. If all they get is a drink in the night, that's still better than being thirsty. And that's the way the Lord wants us to be, a refreshing to the lost world around about us. My fountain evaporates. When it gets hot in the daytime, the water goes out of it faster. Well, life's like that too. When you get in a good hot battle and the old devil's pushing you hard, that's when you need to spend some extra time with the Lord. The power's there. It's just up to you and me to take the time. He created a fountain in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. I like to listen to my fountain. I like this bird song. I like the wind in the trees. And when you plug in the fountain, anytime you walk by in front of it, it kind of drowns out a little bit. My fountain is not very big, but it drowns out a little bit of that. We stand there and listen to the fountain. Isn't that something? It's just water falling down. But it's pretty. Have you ever enjoyed listening to water falling down like that? Well, folks, we're talking about spiritual things. God's people don't really have to do anything much to be beautiful. There's something pleasant about the sound that they make. It's a fountain. It just sounds good. Think of all the ways that you've seen fountains. Now, I visited in Freeman's Hospital. Walk in through the main lobby there, and there's a wall that's kind of on an angle like that, and it's solid glass on the front and something else on the back, and there's a fountain, and it's running water down behind that glass. You can't touch it. And they do that, I'm sure, to protect it from children and things. But it's boring to sit in a hospital. I sit there in front of that fountain, and they've got it fixed. Well, you can do all kinds of things with a fountain. You can do all kinds of things with your life. If you got the Lord in it, you can go all kinds of directions. It's got a whole row of little openings for the water up at the top, and it flows down evenly across the whole fountain in front of that fountain, and it makes a continuous, forever-changing ripple pattern all the way down the front of that. And you can sit there, I guess, all afternoon and watch that water, and it never has a shame shape twice and just keeps on coming down, and it's intriguing, and it's restful. It's restful. Car horns set me on edge. I don't like traffic very much, and sirens. I don't like the sound of sirens. They set me on edge, and some things make you nervous. You notice that? Water can be peaceful when it's a fountain. Flood water is not restful. My mother never did like the ocean because she said it's so restless, it never ceases. But a fountain like that one is, with continual changing patterns, no threat in it, it's just peaceful. God's got some fountains like that. There are all kinds of fountains. There are fountains that are a single pipe, and they've got what looks like flower leaves on it that are burst out in every direction. They spray up in the air, and they make like an umbrella. God's got saints of every kind. They're different colors. They live in different cultures. They live in different parts of the world. But every one of them has a beauty. And why would the one in Freeman's say to the one that's made like a flower burst, well, you don't have any right to be here because you don't look like I do. What matters is the power. And folks, God will help you and me to shape our fountain, our individual fountain, also our congregational fountain, to be where it is the beauty that's unique and individual to every one of us. And fountains can be added to in this way. One of the remarkable things about fountains, I've seen, remember some that I saw in Germany in the middle of a mall, had fountains that from periodically, from time to time, people would be just strolling through the mall. First time these fountains did what they did, it amazed me, and I didn't know what to do. It just looked like a pool of water there, and I walked by it, and I saw piping in the middle of it, but all of a sudden, music started coming over the loudspeakers, and when it did, the fountains erupted. And they splashed up in the air quite a distance, and then there were colored lights down there in the bottom of the pool, and they started playing against these streams of water going up, and just as harmless and innocent as it could be. It did nothing there but the beauty of it. But it was fascinating to watch them change from red to green to purple to blue and aqua and all the other colors that went across it. So the Lord does with our lives. Got a little tribulation, have you? The Lord's casting a light on your fountain. He's just showing some of the beauty of it. And folks, He'll add heavenly music to it after a while. He's got a way of making our fountain shine at the times when it's most needed to do so. Haven't you ever been in a situation where something came up suddenly, unexpectedly, you didn't know what to say or what to do, and have the Lord put it in your mind right there at the time? You get away and look at that after a while and say, no, that wasn't me. I didn't ever think that fast on my feet, and I didn't have any answers like that, but the Lord gave me to that. I remember years ago, Brother Austis Wilson telling me, some folks came and challenged him about the divinity of Christ and what he was after the resurrection. And he said, the Lord gave me a scripture right there on the spot while I was talking to them. I hadn't studied or thought about it in years, but the Lord put it right there and it came out and it was the answer. Have you had that? The Lord can make your fountain whatever He wants it to be. You got to keep it cleaned up. Keep a little water in it. He'll furnish the power for it when He wants it, and He'll add the sound to it, and He'll add the light show to it, and make it beautiful and appreciate it, make it what He wants it to be. Because you see, this is not a fountain of water. This is a fountain for deliverance from sin and uncleanness. As a fountain opened in the house of David for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, I want to be one of those. This sounds real peaceful to me. I didn't like my fountain when it was a puddle and there were mosquitoes growing in it. And water can be so dangerous, so troubling, but the Lord's fountain is a peaceful fountain. It's not a dangerous water. It's a stream. It's a pure river of water of life. And its source is the Lord. It's there for sin and for uncleanness. My illustrations have been about physical water, but the Lord wants us to be washed with the water of His Word. And we can take whatever it is that is our battle in life to the fountain of life. Ask Him to help us with it. Ask Him to change that which about us would be ugly, shameful, and we wouldn't want anyone to know. The Lord gives us the privilege to bring that to the fountain of living waters. He's got something in the fountain that'll help us with it and change us. It'll be a well of water springing up in us, a fountain in our souls. To life everlasting. It's what the Lord stood and cried on the last day of the feast. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's a fountain. That's what He's talking about. Thank God for the fountain, for washing away of sin and uncleanness. It shall come to pass in that day, meaning the gospel day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be no more remembered. I've seen idols. I've seen the confusion, the sincerity in some places people have about their idols. Deeply want to worship, believe in something greater than themselves, don't know how to find where the real truth of life is. Study those old heathen religions and find to my amazement that many of them lead back to belief in one God. And the folks are worshiping the trees and the snakes and things as an extension of God, not as God Himself. study that, I was amazed to find that that's the way it is. And yet their belief system has not led them into a clear or humble place. I think about the cry of the wise men who came to Jerusalem to see the Lord. And they said, "Where is he that was promised?" And I think that is the cry of all pagan religions still today. Where is he that was promised? Where is the one that can give us true light and understanding? "Here he said in his word, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I'll give you," to put it in my language, the prophet said, "I'll cut off the names of the idols out of the land." I'll say that in applying to my life. Anything that could come to be a threat to my soul salvation, to my understanding of the clear path he wants me to follow, the Lord prophesied that he would, by his Spirit, by an experience of salvation, make it possible for me to know how to find the Lord. So I not be confused, so I not be misled or deceived. Clear understanding, the way I need to go. What a valuable thing. One who came and said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." To have that one come into my soul and direct me. What could be better than that? How much we need it in this old sinful world to put things in balance and perspective and show us how we ought to walk. In that day, he said, "I'll cut off the names of the idols, and they shall no more be remembered." I do love that, because I've made some mistakes in my life and gone down some foolish roads. I remember following some leaders that they got me in trouble. They meant well, but I followed them too far. And I remember very clearly how the Lord dealt with me about that. They got me into more trouble than I could get out of, and couldn't solve my troubles. And I remember, as a consequence of some of those kind of things, laying in about 4 inches of mud underneath a mobile home and raised up and hit my head on one of those steel beams that are underneath there. And the Lord made it so strong in my mind, this is what it got you. Following the way that you've gone, I've got something better than that for you. And I haven't forgotten that. Now, you may not have to do that, but I was hard-headed in my belief in the folks who got me into places where I was. And I got a lesson out of it that I haven't forgotten. I'm grateful to the Lord for it. To have him cut off the idols out of the land, to cut off the name that's not even remembered anymore, and go back to the Lord and say, "That's not even there. It's not even there. I've delivered you. Why do you remember it anymore? I'm not remembering it. Go on and walk with me." That's where I want to be. You understand what I'm trying to say? You ever had some of those kinds of experiences? I see some of you nodding and some of them maybe look uncertain. I've followed some things that got me in trouble, and the Lord had mercy on me and helped me to see, and I'm thankful. That's the essence of this. And then the Lord promised that it wouldn't even be remembered anymore. I'm glad it's there. Also a cause of prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. 7 sons of Siva. They couldn't tell which was they didn't know what to do with the unclean spirit. "We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth," they said. "Come out of that man." It didn't work for him very well. The old devil has no mercy on people who don't have the power of a fountain in their lives. He'll attach things to you and me too if he can. The Lord said he'd cause an unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Means out of our lives. Means out of danger to us. I try to claim that scripture just as far as I can. I claim it for myself. I got some unsaved loved ones. I try to claim it for them. They get tangled up in things they shouldn't. I'd take a long list to list all the things that Roberta and I have prayed some of our loved ones out of. They got in more than I wish they had, but they got into a lot more if we just turn them loose. Sometimes old devil comes around and says, "Why do you bother anymore? Why carry a burden for them?" Well, here's part of the reason the Lord said he'd cause unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And I know he won't take people's will away from them, but I do believe my mother's prayer saved us from a lot of trouble, so I'm trying it out in my time. See if the same thing will work with my prayers. I remember one time my sister got old enough she was about 18 or 19, and she was old enough to leave home and hadn't done it yet. Wanting to be independent of my parents. They got in a quarrel one day, and they were trying to make my sister behave, and she didn't want to. And she left the house angry and slammed the door, and Mother and Dad weren't angry, but they were very distressed. She said, "Come on, let's go to our room." Went in there and had prayer. My sister drove off. About 45 minutes, here she was back. Had a car wreck going out of town, a fender bender. Dad said she came back a different girl than the way she left. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord's got a way of doing things for you in answer to prayer. He'll do that first in your own soul. Sometimes you want Him to reach out farther than that. People don't even really want Him yet. My sister didn't want Mother and Dad's counsel and didn't want the Lord to stop her, but He had mercy on her and did it anyway. And time went by and she grew up and they went on home. My sister later in life made the choice that she wanted to walk with the Lord, and she did the rest of her days, partly because of this. Because the Lord had mercy and remembered those things, and she did too. My mother's prayers. My sister and her husband were in the congregation where we were, and they backslid. They used to come, they used to testify, and they used to sing. She'd lead the singing sometimes, and they backslid. And they left. They wanted to live in sin, enjoying it. They didn't want anybody to bother them about church. She testified that way. We had a deacon brother in the congregation, Brother Stanley Lowndes. He never would give them up. About every month or so, he'd call them up. My sister said it must have been as difficult for him as it is difficult for me. Call and I'd hear his voice on the line. I knew I had to be polite to him. I knew he probably didn't want to call. But I'd talk to him and he'd talk to me. Talk to me, and after a while, all the resistance eroded. After a while, here they came on back and thanked Brother Lowndes for all those times that he called him, what it meant. Got saved, gone home now, won the prize. This is what the scripture said. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. And they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Had a sister in our congregation years ago. She got involved with a cult. Before anybody knew it. Oh, it was a powerful spirit. Powerful spirit. And she was affected by it. And then one of the first things they did was close all her channels for anybody to talk to her. And especially don't talk to a minister. So we didn't know what we were going to do. Her folks came there very upset. Her father was not an especially devout man. But he was troubled by this. Isn't it amazing how God works? So he left. He left home. He left his wife. He was very troubled. He went and got a motel room. It was very unlike him. And he spent the whole night in prayer. Those of us in the congregation we didn't all know about it, but those who did had a special prayer service and got together and felt like the Lord had heard us. And she changed. She changed. Something happened. The Lord intervened. There's something happened, I guess, with those people. I don't know what it was. But she changed and she came back. And she's still there today. Isn't it something? About a short time after that, her father, very strong, healthy man, had an unexpected heart attack and died almost immediately. And the Lord had been dealing with him. And that was the first time anybody ever heard about him going somewhere and praying all night long. Who knows what comes out of our prayers, folks? It just goes on and on and on. God's got a way of working with things. He said in His Word, I'll cut off the names of the idols out of the land. They shall no more be remembered. And also I'll cause the prophets and unclean spirit to pass out of the land. So we prayed for that family. That is our testimony about it. And have the right to it. Because I was there and saw what happened. When it came time for that brother's funeral, one of the comforts that his family had is that it had just only been a short while before. He spent the whole night up praying. And nobody had ever even heard of him doing such a thing before. He had no idea. He was likely praying for his own soul. But the Lord heard. And He has a way of working with these things. Oh, folks, it pays to pray. Let's keep our fountain open. Let's keep our fountain. There's a fountain that the Lord's put there. And it's for sin and uncleanness. And it'll work. and it'll make a light show, and it'll make a sound, and it's beautiful, but we got to work on it. And if we'll work on it, the Lord wants some of us maybe to be trickling down a wall, hidden behind glass. Maybe some of us He wants to be like the dandelion spray is, flowing out all directions. Some of us He puts in a row, and as the music plays, the fountain moves in rhythm to the music. He'll make every one of us beautiful and fruitful in His kingdom. If you don't do anything but just sit up on a vanity top in the bathroom and your fountain is no bigger than that. But God's in it, folks. It's enough. It's beautiful. It's a fulfilling life. If He makes you part of a huge fountain and people come from all over the world to see it, it's a beautiful life. Thank God for this fountain that He opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. It belongs to the people of the city of Jerusalem. The old song said, to Jerusalem the new come the tried and faithful few, back to Zion's golden glory once again. Now assert to us, if you let the Lord put the power in your fountain, you keep it cleaned up, you see His Zion's golden glory. It's beautiful. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.